Om Sri Ram. So Swamiji, my main, what I would like for you to speak straight to me about. Over the years, I've waxed and waned in terms of doing a lot of sadhana, pushing myself, you know, getting up from like the dead of night and meditating long hours and a somewhat balanced life with, you know, I'm eating good food, I'm getting exercise and these things, but like when I get tired, especially when it comes time, I wake up between midnight and 2 o'clock and I feel tired, I consider it laziness and I get up and I push to meditate to get my mind elevated. Because I look all around and frankly, I see the world's going to hell, to be honest, and I don't want to go along with it. And so I remember the years back when you told me, you know, like Rocco Maharaj said, you know, you meditate like half the time, 12 hours if you have to. And then I backed off because I felt my health was being impaired and, you know, I was just being foolish. Now, especially I've come back from this complete physical exam, the doctor says I'm very healthy. So I'm of a mind now that the resistance to long hours of meditation is just my ego. There, I have to be careful. I'm not going to like put myself in a grave, but my idea is to continue to like do more and more sadhana, especially now that I have the opportunity. I'm living alone in a hermetic life, and everything seems to be taken care of, and I have the time to do it. It's not going to last forever. So, what's your advice?
Yes, initially it comes and goes. You can't help it because of the strong condition, the previous births. This certain stage, it comes and goes. It has to be. See, initially we go for a picnic. When we go for a picnic, however beautiful that place may be, we don't stay there the night. We come back by the evening, we have to. We are forced to come back because there are no facilities. But after having gone there 20 times on picnic, you like the place. You inquire whether there is any place around where you can permanently stay. Then you purchase a house nearby. And that is called nishtha. Nishtha means to be permanently established in that feeling of the godliness at all times. It takes time. It takes a lot of time sometimes. We cannot see because we don't know the bank balance we have earned in our previous births. And when it will be given to us, that also we don't know. It may suddenly come in the last moment. That is why people who are very ordinary, in one moment they become highly spiritual. They become the biggest of sadhus. They become jivanuttas even. So we never know. So as such, we need not worry about it. By simply repetition only, you will get established. There is no other course. Repetition, 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 irrespective of progress. As I told, don't expect any progress in this. There cannot be any progress. Because if a man, suddenly his mind goes wrong, he says, I am a horse, he goes on. He is completely convinced, yes, he is only a horse.
Right.
But then, this is an illusion. So, suddenly some people come, they go on daily taking lessons and telling him, no, no, you are a man, you are never a horse. All these things, see, look here, you are having a pant, you are having a shirt. Horses cannot have such pants. Still, he's not convinced, but the more you go on telling, it becomes a type of hypnotism. Suddenly one day, the illusion goes, he finds himself as a man. So, it is instant, that realization that I'm a man is instant. So, it doesn't require, it is not a slow process. Yesterday a little came, day first day another little portion came. Not like that. In one moment, the entire illusion goes. There is no question of a progress. From the horse, I became a I became a bird, and I became an ordinary man. Then I became a monk. There is no progress at all. The question of a progress never arises in spirituality. Even though for satisfying the sadhus, many people are asked, Swamiji, I am not having a progress. What is there? How to know whether I got a progress or not? Then they will say, look here, when no anxieties and concerns assail you for a long time, say for a day, for 2 days, for 3 days, for 4 days, you take it that you are making a progress. These are all only to satisfy you. As I told, it is impossible to have a progress. I mean, scientifically, rationally, when you see, there is no question of a progress. It is instant, instantaneous, it comes.
But the matter is change, transformation and change.
So never worry about the progress portion at all. Take it for granted that every minute we have spent thinking of God, we have made a lot of progress. As Shankara was put the question, well, Eko Varijabandha Kshiti Nabho Vyaptam Tamohandanam. There is only one son, Varijabandhava means the friend of the lotus, that is the son. There is only one son, but Bhitva Lochana Gocharo Bhagya. See, from down to the up to the heavens, you find in the night, it's all darkness. And there is only one sun. But throughout the night, he works hard. He penetrates the darkness. In the morning, he becomes visible. And we tell about God that Koti Surya Sava Prabha, he is equal to crores of suns. His effulgence is equal to crores of suns. Then the question is asked, Swamin, when this one sun is capable of taking away this much of darkness, why even this one who is equal to crores of suns, he is not able to do anything for me? He is not able to penetrate through my darkness of ignorance. The Shankaracharya, the Adi Shankaracharya, Shankara Bhagavad Pada, as he is called, he says, fools, you put the question in this way, that one sun is capable of taking away this much of a darkness. How much darkness you should be having? It should be infinite, infinite, that even crores of suns are unable to do anything. So it will take time. It will definitely take time. So, as Aurobindo told, we should have the patience that I am going to get the result after billions of years. Doesn't matter. I will work hard. But at the same time, you should have the enthusiasm for work as if you are going to get in half an hour's time. That's all. So this is what is required. So we have to go, and it will get established in due course. By going on, repeating, then it will get established. So nishtha, it takes time. It's a continuous process. For 24 words, as the Upanishad says. As the Upanishad says, 24 hours we have to do that. And it has to be for several months and months and years, and it gets established. But we never know. There is also the element of grace. There is also the element of our previous bank balance acquired by us in the previous birth. All these things may work in our favor. We can get it perhaps even within a couple of days, it can happen. So never be discouraged. We have to go. The nishtha takes its own time. We have to increase the time. All the 24 hours, if possible, is not sufficient. While walking, while talking, completely you say, I am the Brahman, I am the Brahman. So in that way, let us think. So they say, the Upanishad only says, you go on meditating on the fact that I am the Brahman, I am the Brahman, I am the Brahman, or I am the Lord, I am the Lord, I am the Lord. And then all these nishtha, or what is called, yeah, completely being established in your goal, that takes place.
But for one who is practicing mantra japa, or pranava japa, or just a ramnam,
correct.
And
we have to continue doing it. We have to continue doing it, preferably for 24 hours, except for the 4 words or 5 words of sleep, all the rest of the time, it has to be. Even when we are washing or brushing our teeth, we should be in that bhava.
Yes.
We have to be. At that time, we are thinking, oh, this my toothpaste is getting exhausted. Tomorrow I should get it. That thought should not come in. Your mind should be always 24 hours in that thought that I am the Brahman, I am the Lord.
So, in addition to doing japa throughout the day or striving to doing japa throughout the day, could you speak to me about the importance of long hours of meditation in which the japa and mantra is going on, but everything else is reduced?
See, initially we should try it for 2 days in a week, 3 days in a week, and then extend it. Then that long hours will work for us for 12 hours in the normal day itself. Just as I told for the previous question, that 24 hours of concentrated meditation on God will automatically come by the practice of long hours of meditation, first for 2 days, then for 3 days in a week, then slowly, 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 in the course of a year, you may increase it to particularly for the entire month. Entire month you will do it, all the 12 months you will do it, all the full 1 year you will continue to do it, and these things. But there again, when you feel tired, better take rest for a few minutes, keep your mind absolutely without thought. And again you come back. So you require it only for 5-10 minutes, then again you can come back. As they said, in between, to avoid our getting sleep, anything which you like, such a song, just only one line, that is, you are Kalpana, I am Kalpana, that alone will do. You need not go to the third line, the world is Kalpana. So even that will do. Like that, you just keep only one line separately.
Just to rest the mind from that.
Rest the mind at that time. Otherwise, it will get laya, it will get only absorption, it will not get destroyed, the mind. So for that purpose. And first the laya starts with a sort of drowsiness. It may not be sleep, a sort of drowsiness. But even the drowsiness or the laya should not come. So for that purpose, we have to do this.
And in addition to maintaining a balanced meditation schedule, what about the importance of a vegetarian diet, a pure sattvic diet?
Exactly. The word is, which Ramanuja has been often telling, is ahara shuddha sattva chitti. Sattva means the mind. Shuddhi means the purity. The purity of the mind depends on ahara shuddhi. Ahara, Ramanuja has defined it as pure taking food only. But Shankara has differed. Ahara, he said, it is not the gross food which you take, but on the contrary, it means the food for the ear, the food for the nose, the like that the food for all the senses are meant. So, that should be pure. Whatever you see should be pure. Whatever you hear should be pure. Whatever you utter should be pure. So, all the senses should be pure. Ahara means that which is the ahara for that which is the food for each sense. While Ramanuja feels that this is most important, later on you may extend to them. So, this is also a fact, because when certain foods have been defined as the food for Rajoguna, certain foods have been defined as the food for Tamoguna, we have to go to the only Sattvaguna all the time. So in order to come to Sattvaguna and in order to completely take away our Rajoguna and Tamoguna, it is absolutely necessary. For instance, the Gita says that which is very intense, intense bitter, intense chilliness and intense sweet, you avoid them. Anything which is a bit intense, you should avoid. The food should be moderate in its taste, moderately salty, moderately sour, So never take something which is very sour or very salty. So that should be avoided instead. So not to speak of vegetarian food, even there they have prescribed all these things. And in the non-vegetarian food, as we are taking flesh to improve flesh, and it consists of both rajaguna and tamaguna, both together, which has to be avoided. That is why a normal man can take it, there is no objection. But when once you have come to the spiritual path, it is essential that any food which will take us to the tamaguna or the aggressiveness, you feel like doing something, you can't sit down for even half an hour, what is the use? We have to do meditation for a long, long time. So as such, in those circumstances, you have to restrict the food to light food. You cannot take heavy food. It has to be light to some extent. At the same time, the body should be kept up. So don't make it too light so that the body becomes absolutely, it's impossible for it to even sit up. So it has to be a moderate thing again there. So that's essential. And the vegetarian food is a must in those cases.
And to me, the other thing that is can be counterproductive to maintaining a calm and pure mind is bad association.
Absolutely, absolutely. You see, the bad association is more effective and is instantly effective than the good association. Associating with good company, it takes time for it to soak and to permit our body. On the contrary, the bad one, I don't know where from the antenna comes, the antenna just absorbs it as if it has been in famine for so many years. Suddenly it absorbs it. So we have to be very careful. We have to avoid it. 100% we have to avoid it. It's very essential. So we need not tell them. Don't try to reform anybody. We have to keep ourselves away from those people. That's what is important. That's all.
Right. So I read in Narada Bhakti Sutra that Narada says in one verse, seek satsanga. And then two verses later, he actually uses the word in English, which we translate in English, would be abandon dusanga. Literally, it's on us. The world brings it. And so it's not like avoid bad association, it's abandon it.
It's not so. See, people have not been able to interpret them properly. The point is, initially, you seek satsanga among the people. Then the sangha means only what is sangha of the sat? Sat means only one thing. That is, the ultimate truth is called sat, not other people. It is a secondary meaning. The primary meaning is only sat, means always to be thinking of the Lord, and that is the one. And sangha means the company at all times. You should not be even conscious, I am doing satsanga, I am doing satsanga. That sort of a feeling should not be there. Automatically, like the iron filings which go to the magnet, you should automatically be attracted to them. You will be only with them. It is not a deliberate course. Oh, I want satsang, I want to go there. You will be drawn to them. You will automatically be there. So it has to become an automatic thing. Then it becomes sangha. Mm-hmm. In satsanga, you are discriminating between sat and asat. In sangha, there is no discrimination. You are automatically being taken to the sat. So that is the thing. So it is not that you can afford to. Especially this bad sangha, you have to be extremely careful. You can never think that I have reached such a stage, now I don't mind, I can be with them. Not at all, not at all, not at all. Yes, it may so happen because Narada believes in that kirtan and all that. So you are doing kirtan in a public place. Then naturally all sort of people will come. And in that case, when anybody who comes, you don't say, oh, you are a known villain, you don't come to my kirtan. You can't tell it. So let him come and let him get the benefit of it. Right. But apart from that, when you seek a separate sangha, here only means the automatic sangha of those who are completely abandoning themselves to God. That's all. Right. So that is the one. It comes automatic at that time. That's what I think.
The other day you mentioned, and I quoted something from Sri Ramakrishna, and you said you agreed, yes, that all the trouble in the world, all the trouble in our mind, starts with the tongue,
yes,
with the mouth.
Yes.
If we could, again, of course, as you say, be very careful what we eat, but also how we speak, what comes out of the mouth.
The tongue comes under two senses. It comes in sense of perception. It is one of the five senses of perception. It's also one of the five senses of action. So in both ways you have to control. Controlling means, control the senses means, control the tongue in two ways. While eye is to be controlled in one way only, the ear is to be controlled in one way only, the leg is to be controlled one way only, the tongue is the only thing. We have got a double tongue, so one for the taste and one for tongue. Both has to be restricted completely. That's very important. And they say, one has to leave all taste. Otherwise, it could create havoc in us. And because of the taste, you will take huge quantity. When we take huge quantity, the more we take huge quantity, the body gets into a rut. Rut means the elephants get into some sort of a madness sometimes. And in the body, a particular type of liquid comes out that is called a rut. Now you say the elephant is in rut. It is actually in a sort of a madness. So mad it becomes. So in a similar way it happens to us also. So we have to be very careful. So what is the question?
Well, about watching the mouth. What we
see,
say.
Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, when he was taken to his guru Kesava Bharati, when he went there for sannyas, Kesava Bharati first said, "Hey, have you controlled your senses?" "Yes." Then she asked him to jut out his tongue and put a lot of glucose in it. Not one granule became wet. Then he said, "Yes, you are the candidate for sannyas." So that's very, very essential, because the taste can lead to more quantity. More quantity can lead us to desire for sex also. So as such, it is better to avoid the taste.
Yeah.
Is it?
And in the deeper sense, this is something I find with myself, I can control my speech, especially if someone is aggravating me, or doing something foolish, even spiritually foolish, and that irritates me because I feel a sense of pity, but still anger arises.
Yes.
So the avoidance of anger, I think this is one of the benefits of meditation, because you can keep the mind from falling into this krodha, which the Lord says is a gate to hell.
Krodha is the gross form of kama. See, that's what the psychologists have found. So a man whose sexual instinct is not satisfied, he becomes a very angry man. Many of the bachelors, they become angry very quickly. That happens.
Right. So anger on all levels is very dangerous.
It's very dangerous. And in Valmiki Ramayana, in Sundarakanda, when Hanuman, after burning of the entire Lanka comes, he feels bad about it. "Oh my Lord, what a fool I am. In my anger, I never bothered. Hey, in Lanka only Sita is there. Now she should have been also completely reduced to ashes. Oh my Lord, I spoiled the very mission for which I have come." And then some of the demigods were passing up. They tell him, "Hanuman, don't worry, she's safe." That's what happened. Then he speaks about the bad effects of krodha in Valmiki Ramayana for pages and pages from the mouth of Hanuman.
So we should allow anger against our own laziness, against our own folly, especially in regards to sadhana.
See, that doesn't come. That doesn't come. It's all theory. You be angry against God for having not given you moksha. all these
things. No, that I mean angry against our own laziness. We feel...
See, angry against our own laziness, or angry against God. See, these are all only theory. In practice, you don't find them of much use. What is the usage? You pray to the Lord, Lord, take away all the evil against you. What happens is, you may not show your anger, but the anger is inside. It is eating you. It is cancerous. So at that time, you simply pray. Prayer is much more effective. Or you come to the Buddhistic form. After some time, when you remember the occasion on which you got angry, you just remember the entire occasion. It came. Now, you just see that like a film, which you are rewinding and seeing. But don't criticize yourself. Don't feel angry against yourself. Oh my Lord, how many times I have vowed not to get angry. Oh. So, don't be discouraged. Simply you see it without any criticism for 1 hour. If you do this about 8 or 9 times, many have said, people who are doing this type of meditation, they have said it is very effective, and ultimately the anger goes away. So this, there is that. So these two are the methods which you might adopt.
Well, Swamiji, if there was to be a last word of advice, specifically here, is it specifically you were to give some guidance, what would it be?
Never forget the Lord. Constant remembrance of God is the only key, Leave aside everything, constantly remember Him. Simply say, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, go on to me till we fall dead. I would say, that's the only advice.
So the formula I'll use is Om God, Om God.
Anything. Om alone will do, because Om contains all the gods. It contains God with form, God without form. Now it contains the ultimate truth. It contains the Brahman, it contains the Atman. So Om alone will do. That's why they say, for sannyasis, Om is the only mantra, only of all mantras. So Om is so great, it comprises everything. It comprises the entire world, the entire universes. It comprises all.
So remember God is the word.
That's the last. I cannot think of anything else to substitute.
Ah, oh, wrong.